discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
The Census Bureau stirred up quite a hubbub earlier this spring with a data release that focused on millennials. Their numbers said that fully a quarter of us, and as a millennial myself, I think us is the proper term, who live at home, don't work, or study. So that's 25% of millennials who live in the home they grew up in, not working or actively studying. And the Bureau went on to say that about a third of all millennials find themselves in that situation. So do these numbers give weight to those cultural voices who have deemed us as millennials to be lazy and of no use to society? Or are they symptomatic of something deeper, whether it's economic, cultural, or even spiritual? And do they tell the whole story? Mr. Paul Angoni has eloquently expressed that for an American young person, the first 20 years of existence tend to be awfully straightforward. Kindergarten leads to elementary school, which leads to junior high and high school, which for many goes on to college. But then what? When a young adult first steps foot in the wild west of the working world, suddenly the frameworks they've come to know disappear, and many of us encounter a rather profound confusion. So, for a health checkup on my generation and wisdom on how to be all grown up, we welcome back the insightful, the inspirational, and the amusing Mr. Paul Angoni. Paul is a best-selling author, national keynote speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com. His first offering, 101 Secrets for Your 20s, was released in 2013. Later came the aptly titled All Grown Up. The warmest of return greetings to you, good sir. It's so good to have you.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Honor to be on. Man, that was an amazing intro. I think we should just call it an interview right there. I don't know if it can get better than that.
Now, how have you been? I mean, you seem to have dedicated yourself tirelessly to spreading nuggets of wisdom since we last spoke 2 years ago.
It's better than spreading other kind of nuggets around, if I say so myself. So, yeah, I'll go for nuggets of wisdom. Yes. No, this is my life. I love either speaking to the millennial generation or speaking about the millennial generation and trying to encourage all of us as we're going through this, really what is a huge transition process across the board, you know, where you have this gigantic generation as far as numbers being the millennials transitioning into the workforce, the Wild West, as you put it, which is so aptly put, and trying to find their way. But then you also have, you know, boomers that are transitioning out and are more in mentoring relationships and are parents of millennials that are living back home. So there's a lot of rivers colliding at once, and there's some rocky waters that come with that. So, yeah, this is my life, is trying to speak into that situation, trying to calm the waters a little bit, whether I'm working with an organization or I'm speaking to a 23-year-old that's at home and that is basically asking, you know, this is not my life. Nothing is turning out like it was supposed to. What do I do now?
I couldn't resist leading off with those numbers from the Census Bureau because these fractions, I think, were even larger than perhaps most of us would have anticipated. So recapping those headline numbers, a third of millennials, they say, the Census Bureau says, live at home. A fourth of that group don't work or study. Now, as someone who's really dedicated yourself, as you've said, to calming those waters and to speaking to millennials specifically, were you surprised by the stats at all?
Not necessarily. You know, I've been seeing that trend the last 5 years as the rate of millennials moving back in with their parents, the rate of 20-somethings living back at home has been at the highest percentage that we've seen since this, you know, in the last 50, 60 years. So it has definitely been an upward trend where we're seeing more and more 20-somethings, you know, quote-unquote millennials living back at home. Now, to see that, yeah, there's a certain percentage, you know, a quarter of that are also not working or not studying. You know, that was a little bit surprising. You know, there is some of that where, you know, I think some, you know, depending on where they're at in the process, maybe they just graduated, they're still trying to find their footing.
Sure.
They're not working yet, they're trying to figure it out. So I can definitely see that as well. But it is a big change, a big deal that so many 20-somethings are moving back home. and why that's happening and what do we do about it, you know, I guess those become the bigger questions. And there's lots of reasons, I think, why. And one of those being an economic reality. For a lot of millennials that are coming out of college, specifically with so much college debt, and so that's definitely a real reality that this generation is facing uniquely in the amount of, you know, the average college debt, the Pew Research was saying, was about $33,000 for the average college graduate, and much more for some. And that can be a hard burden to carry for some millennials as they're transitioning out. They live in a city. They can't afford the rent and their loan payments, and they're not getting the doors flown open for them with their bachelor's degree. You know, really, the bachelor's degree almost feels like the high school diploma now because there's so many millennials and so many are getting their bachelor's. It's most highest educated generation, too. So there's a lot of factors to this. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of millennials. The bachelor, your liberal arts degree from your small school isn't exactly throwing those economic doors open for you instantly. You know, it takes more time, I think, which is why you see more of these 20-somethings, you know, what they're calling emerging into adulthood, which there's a lot of research behind that.
Oh, it's really interesting to hear you bring all those threads together, because I think the cultural commentary has been to the effect, for the most part, and this is a little bit, you know, of a caricature, but a lot of times you'll see the headlines like this and the cultural commentators will be like, there's those millennials again. They're lazy. Yeah. They don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
But really, as you described that, I mean, the norm that we've had in terms of this age bracket coming to where they are at this place of life and automatically having that degree that gets the job, the normal is just not sustainable anymore because of those costs. I mean, it was going to have to change in any case.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some real economic changes taking place, you know, and I, you know, when I go, let's say I'm speaking in an organization, you know, I go and speak to corporations about how to lead and retain millennials, because a lot of corporations are struggling with this. And there's a slide I'll put up where I'll put up the, you know, who are millennials, and I'll put up the common terms, right? I'll put entitled, narcissistic, self-absorbed, things they know and can be anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I put up these terms, and then I have the tables break up, and I say, hey, talk amongst yourselves. I just want you to get everything off your chest of what you struggle with millennials, because these are mainly boomers. These are mainly leaders within the company. So the room gets loud. People are talking. People are getting fired up. You know, they're talking about their struggles with millennials. And then I bring them back, and it takes me a while to bring them back. I mean, it's like trying to rein in like a fifth grade class that's just been told they can have recess. You know, they're really excited about talking about their frustrations with this generation, and I get it. I get the frustrations, but what I've done is I kind of played a little trick on them, because I switch my slide, and instead of millennials, it switches to boomers, and all those terms that I listed, entitled, narcissistic, self-absorbed, think they know and they can be anything, it actually came from a 1970s essay called The Me Decade that was in The New Yorker. And so I do that little switch to say, you know, this is not a millennial thing. In many ways, this is an age group thing. Hmm. And for so many generations on, the generation before has always looked at the generation coming up and saying, you know, these kids these days, they're ruining everything. They're messing everything up. Why can't they just figure it out? They're so narcissistic. So this has been happening. This is not just boomers talking about millennials. This has been happening where the greatest generation, you know, was struggling with those baby boomers being self-absorbed and entitled and narcissistic. So there are some things that are beyond just the terms of millennial, in a sense.
Mr. Paul Angoni has authored best-selling books like 101 Secrets for Your 20s and All Grown Up. And the spelling is important there, by the way. It's all GROAN. Up. You see what he did there? He's a go-to national keynote speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com, which is a vibrant community with a lot of resources for millennials themselves and for those wanting to understand them better. You know, in terms of, I mean, that was a great setup to really the issue, what we're talking about, the challenges and the blessings of millennials and how they interact in life and in the workplace. Do you think that there are some sort of underlying assumptions that our generation, that millennials have bought into, lies really that are holding us back when we talk about these economic realities and all of these figures that we see?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when I'm talking to 20-somethings that are struggling, you know, and it might be those that are back at home, that are working at, you know, an entry-level job, or they're working an hourly job, you know, a job that's basically not paying the bills, that's not up to what they thought it would be. I definitely have a lot of advice to give to those people, and one of them, first of all, is you're not alone in this. Because I get so many emails from 20-somethings that are struggling, that have these big questions and fears and feel like they're failing. And their first email to me typically is, I felt so alone in this. I feel like I'm the only one going through this. Thank you for your resource at All Grown Up, because, you know, now I know that there's somebody else out there. And so that's my first thing. You know, I think too many of us are buying into this line, this lie that I'm the only one struggling. And so I'm constantly telling 20-something specifically, you know, we're all struggling, but we're all struggling to make it appear like we're not struggling. And, you know, we're all struggling to make it appear like we're not struggling, and especially through social media. And so that really complicates this lie, because I think it's isolating this generation in a weird way. You know, we're globally connected online. We are instantly connected with friends. And yet, we're all kind of putting these PR spins on our social media profiles, right? You know, it's not like when I'm fighting with my wife, you know, I'm like, hold on, babe, let me take a video of this so I can throw it on Snapchat or something.
No.
You know, we're posting the pictures where we're like, you know, like cheek snuggling, you know, on the beach, and we have the most amazing marriage. You know, those are kind of pictures we're sharing. And so I'm constantly telling 20-somethings, hey, don't buy into the perception that people are putting out there that their life is amazing, because they're going through their own struggles. So sometimes you have to be courageous enough to go first and be the person that's, you know, at coffee or with some friends at work and saying, hey, you know, here's some questions I'm struggling with. Are you guys struggling with it too? And then that opens up this door for authentic conversation, which I think every 20-something wants. You know, they'll tell you they want authenticity. Well, sometimes you got to be the first one to be authentic. So I do think that's a lie that this generation specifically is bought into. First of all, that they're all alone. And then second of all, that they're a failure. You know, I think a lot of 20-somethings feel like they're failing. They feel like they're a failure. You know, because they're not reaching the milestones that they thought they would.
Yeah.
Or everything is taking a lot longer than they thought it would. And so that's what I'm always trying to remind my generation to. You know, I love that they're known as big dreamers, or that they're optimists. You know, even studies have shown that millennials, quote-unquote, are optimistic. And I love that about 20-somethings. I love that they have these big dreams. And I don't think that's the problem. I don't think the big dreams are the problem. I think the timeline for how quickly we want some of those big dreams to happen, that can be the rub. That can be the issue that I think a lot of 20-somethings stop because it's been 6 months or a year or 2 years, and I haven't seen a fruit from my big dream.
Right.
When it might take 5, 10, 15 years before you start seeing any of that fruit. So that's why I'm always telling 20-somethings, hey, success in your 20s is more about setting the table than enjoying the feast.
Alongside the concept of failure, and I love how much you talk about failure. I think that's one of the reasons I like you the most, because it's so identifiable with my own life. But you say in your 20s, you're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot. The most important thing is when you fail, don't begin calling yourself a failure. Why do you think that's so important?
Man, and then the reason I talk about failure so much is because I felt like such a gigantic failure for most of my 20s. And really, that's what started this passion. I mean, this passion wasn't, I didn't start writing books as this, I'm going to make a ton of money as an author.
Right.
Because, well, if that's your reasoning to be an author, good luck. You know, but it was me traveling as a salesman, being in a hotel room, wondering what I'm doing with my life, feeling like a failure, and feeling like, man, I got to write about this. What is going on? I got to make sense of this. So that's why it is so real to me. Because and it took me 8 years to get a book deal. I mean, it took me, you know, I'm the classic story of every publisher turning me down. Every publisher saying, no, this is not a good fit for us, or this guy's crazy, you know, this book is not going to sell, you know, all these different things. So failure is very real to me. But that line that you mentioned, you know, the key is you're going to fail time and time again, but don't call yourself a failure. And so I guess it was just becoming more confident and more at peace in the process. you know, being at peace in that process of, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay if you feel like things aren't working out according to plan, because your 20s aren't about things going as you planned. It's more about how you adapt, change, and grow when they don't go as planned.
Mm.
You know, and I, you know, I even threw out a tweet recently that character is rarely built sitting at the luxury resort. You know, and some of those words that we forget about, you know, even words that are, you know, that are laced in the Bible, you know, and some of these verses, like, you know, don't you know, give up from doing good, you know, don't become weary from doing good, because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And so I love these verses about at the proper time, or that perseverance produces character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. This is not, oh, you know, this is a big billboard moment, or this is a reality TV show,
yeah,
or YouTube famous, this kind of instant visual success. You know, this is tried and true. You're taking buckets, you're filling up a well, one bucket of water after another, you know, and it's that whole concept of you might put 10,000, 20,000 buckets of water in that well, and people are only going to see that last bucket, right? That last bucket that spills everything over. That's what people will see and run to and be like, where did this person come from? They came out of nowhere. They're amazing. They're an instant success. You know, but they don't see the 10,000, the 20,000 buckets even carrying there. So if you call yourself a failure, you stop yourself. You know, you're starting to define yourself with a, more of a noun, with a name, versus, hey, I'm at peace in the process here. I'm going to keep plugging away at that because there's so much being grown in me. There's being so much rooted in me. You know, I'm planting these seeds for them to grow. And even if I can't see the life coming out of the ground right now, I'm going to just trust God that he's sparking things underground.
Mm. Well said. Mr. Paul Angoni has authored best-selling books like 101 Secrets of Your 20s, All Grown Up, and he's a go-to national keynote speaker, the creator of allgrownup.com. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I'm so intrigued by your messages about failure is because I think it relates to each and every one of us, no matter our generation. But also in terms of millennials, because you made the point before in your books that millennials, to overcome some of the economic realities that we talked about opening up the program, they're going to need to be some of the most entrepreneurial, some of the most flexible, some of the most fresh thinking people that have ever lived. So, I mean, this is a reality that's not just in terms of, hey, it's important to keep a positive attitude, but this is something that needs to become central for all of us.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're talking to millennials, that they have this mindset for the most part, you know, that they want to go do something different or big or create something their own, or, you know, be able to travel and work. You know, they have these ideas of, hey, I want to change this. I don't want to work in the same way. I want to create something that's my own. And you're totally right. If you want that part, then on the flip side, yeah, you got to be really comfortable with being very uncomfortable. You know, you have to be willing to just be in this very uncomfortable tension, and not letting it destroy you, but instead letting it propel you. And I often tell millennials that they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, one, they might say, hey, I feel so lost. You know, I feel so lost. Yeah. I have no idea where I'm going. And I'll tell that person, that's amazing. That's so wonderful that you feel lost. Because getting lost really is that first step to exploring.
Hmm.
You know, getting lost and exploring pretty much are the same thing. All explorers have to get lost. The difference is they're getting lost on purpose with purpose. So it's kind of this intentional lostness.
Wow.
Where they're bringing guides with them. You know, these explorers, they didn't go out on their own. They had guides. They had some sense of a map, even though they didn't know exactly where they were headed. You know, so it was this intentional lostness. So I try to tell 20-somethings, you know, how to bring some intentionality to this lostness so that you're not just going on a road trip to solve all your problems and then you're coming back and realizing you have more problems than when you began, you know? But it's this process of, yeah, you're exploring, you're asking big questions. This is hard. You don't know what's around the bend, but you got to keep walking and really trusting, again, having that hope that, man, God's there with you and that God does care and he hasn't forgotten you and he's not forsaking you. He's actually training you. This is actually the exact path you need to be on.
Mm.
so that you can go do those big things, you know, because that's where you're getting prepared. That's where you're building the strength. And so it's not like God has forgotten you in that place. And that was very true for me, because for a couple of years I really felt like, man, God, do you really care about me? Are these promises true in my life? Because I just felt so alone. I felt like I was failing so bad. But now I see it. I look back and be like, you know, God was training me. God was equipping me. God was getting me ready, my legs ready, to carry heavier weights that I wasn't ready for 10 years ago.
Oh, man. Could listen to this guy talk all day. Mr. Paul Angoni here with us on the road. It's closely related to exactly what you've been describing, but you recently mentioned in your Twitter feed, and by the way, what is your Twitter handle for those who are fans of Twitter.com?
It is just my name. It's at Paul Angoni. So Paul and then Angoni, A-N-G-O-N-E. That's where I'm at Twitter.
He shared on his Twitter just recently, he says this: don't wait for inspiration, fight for it. Sometimes the most inspired thing you can do is keep showing up when completely uninspired. And I thought, for each of us, for every stage of life, that rings so very true. What's the heart behind that statement?
You know, it's this constant realization that it's, again, about this kind of consistency to it all. You know, just like a farmer, you know, we talked about this before we jumped on the interview, right? That I have some Swedish stock in me.
Yes.
You know, Kansas stock. So my grandpa is a farmer, my uncles are farmers, and I love going out there. And I am drawn to that lifestyle, that mentality. This is kind of consistent, showing up, doing the work, even when I don't feel like it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think my generation gets knocked for that a little bit. You know, we have our feelings on our sleeve a little bit. We're not afraid to voice our opinions. And so it's this constant reminder to me to keep showing up, to keep doing good work. And so that quote, yeah, I mean, the most inspired thing you can do is to keep showing up when you feel uninspired. Because I think some of the best work, it doesn't happen because of inspiration and motivation. I think some of the best work and some of the best things that have happened come out of necessity. It kind of comes out of this place where it's like, I have no other way to go. I can't pay my rent. I'm struggling. I have to figure this out. You know, I have to make this work. I have to just keep plugging away at it. There's this necessity to it. I have to get my crops to grow, right? Or nobody's going to eat.
Yeah.
And there's great work that happens there. And so it's constantly trying to tell my feelings, you know, it might not feel good right now. I might not feel like anybody's reading my stuff. Some days I'm like, what am I doing? You know, this is constant struggle and questioning that I think everybody goes through. So it's that reminder to say, hey, keep plowing the ground. Keep working it. Keep showing up. Keep doing good work. Be consistent. Be humble. You know, and good things going to happen. Fruit's going to come. But you can't keep pulling your seeds out of the ground and keep trying all these new things because you're chasing some new get-rich-quick scheme. You know, you got to keep consistent with that.
That was such a complete and thorough agricultural analogy, too. Tip of the hat to you, sir. Well played.
Well, I from my grandpa, I have a hat that says Kansas Farmer.
Yes.
That he never would have worn. You know, he wore, like, the actual, like, tractor hat.
Yeah.
But there's this Kansas Farmer hat, and I literally put that hat on when I'm going to write. It's like my metaphor. Just like be like my grandpa. I'm going to show up, and this is how I'm sowing my seeds. I'm writing, and so I put my Kansas Farmer hat on, and I get to work.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic, Mr. Paul Angoni. He is a best-selling author. His books include 101 Secrets for Your 20s and All Grown Up. The go-to national keynote speaker, allgrownup.com. is his web presence home. And is that the best place to go in terms of if somebody wanted to grab the books, if they wanted to check out your speaking opportunities, is that a good hub to do it, sir?
Yes, that is great. Yeah, allgrownup.com. And again, like you said earlier, it's grown as you're groaning in pain, groan, .com. Or they can just check me out at paulangoni.com. And again, my last name's not easy either, so it's A-N-G-O-N-E, so paulangoni.com. But yeah, if you go to allgrownup.com, you can get, I think, 4 free chapters from my book, All Grown Up, and then you can also get, I think, like 10 free secrets from my book, 101 Secrets to Your 20s. So if you go there, you just enter your email, and then you get those chapters sent to you right away. So you can start reading my books right now if they wanted to and not even pay anything to do so. So that's always nice.
Oh, Paul, what a pleasure to have you back. Thank you so much for taking the time and returning here to On the Road. We've just been blessed to have you again, sir.
Well, thanks, Ryan. I hope there's a third time. I hope there's a trifecta sometime in the future. I don't want it to just end here. So
No, this series has to have more than one sequel. Absolutely, brother.
That's right. All right, thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.